Per Tennessee law, property used to commit drug offenses, such as vehicles, aircraft, or boats, and property acquired with the proceeds of drug felonies may be taken through a civil procedure instituted by a district attorney or through an administrative procedure before the commissioner of safety and sold at public auction. Sale proceeds are earmarked for the city's drug enforcement program and certain other law enforcement expenses. Any vehicle seized may be used in the local drug enforcement program for not more than 5 years. I want y'all to keep that in mind. Okay, I told you guys I was going to be more into local politics because I live in Memphis and I truly believe Memphis has a chance to turn the corner. As I've said before, I acknowledge there is a crime problem in Memphis. I'm not running from that fact, but I've also been vocal about holding the police accountable. When the police mess up, they have to be held accountable. I also have never endorsed Police Chief CJ Davis, but I've never also defamed her. I've said she needs to be given a chance to actually make reforms in Memphis and make a difference. Her and the mayor, Paul Young, along with the city council. Like, I reserve praise until you actually do something. But here's a chance, a unique opportunity for Police Chief CJ Davis to do some reforms. And if you listen to my previous podcast, one of the ways she needs to do reforms, in my opinion, is to fire a lot of these old corrupt officers. And you can start right now. You can start with the firing of Colonel Frank Winston. Start with him, because Frank Winston is a corrupt officer. Let me just be clear. Colonel Frank Winston is a corrupt officer. If I'm not clear, I will say it one more time. The leader of the organized crime unit in the Memphis City Police Department, Colonel Frank Winston, is a corrupt officer who needs to be fired right now. Now you're saying, hey, Marcus, what gives you the right to say that this officer should be fired? Do you have evidence? Do you have proof of the corruption that you are accusing Colonel Frank Winston of? And the answer is, yep, I sure do. Got a videotape of it. Yep, video evidence of corruption. Now, for those of y'all who can't see audio, let me describe what this video is. On January the 30th, 2003, then Major Frank Winston was driving a pickup truck. It appears to be like a GMC Silverado. He's in a parking lot. He goes in to park this Silverado and he hits what appears to be a black Range Rover. At this point, Frank Winston comes out the car after he done hit it, looks at the damage on the car, while talking on his phone, which I'm assuming he was talking on his phone in the car. Hopefully it was hands-free. But he gets out the car, looks at the damage, and then goes about his day. Doesn't report it. Doesn't say anything. Just walks on, talking on the phone. Goes about his day. Doesn't report it. That is what we call, in the business, a hit and run. So before we go any further, let's just acknowledge that is breaking the law. This is an unreported car crash, a hit and run. Now, what I didn't mention was the car that Colonel Frank Winston was driving wasn't his. It was a seized car. Now, why is this important? Okay, so what routinely happens during drug busts? You forfeit your property. So any money, jewelry, drugs, cocaine, cars, if it's part of a drug bust, you forfeit it. That property then goes to the police department, where it's held for a certain amount of time, and then after the case is adjudicated, it's put up for auction. Then that money is used to fund this police department. It is a money-making mechanism. It is a way to fund law enforcement. A lot of police officers right now are driving in old drug dealers' cars because, hey, look, it goes up for auction. They're there. They can buy them. There's nothing wrong with that. Totally legal. I think officers should have an opportunity to buy a car if they want it. Now, another way that officers can get these seized drug cars is to have them assigned to them, because cars used in narcotic raids can be used to investigate other potential narcotic activities. So what I'm saying is, in order to use that seized car, you have to buy it, or it has to be part of an investigation and assigned to you. This car that Frank Winston was using was not assigned to him and was being used for his personal day-to-day life. Essentially, Colonel Frank Winston stole a car. He stole the car. That's what it is, bro. You took a car that was not assigned to you to use for your everyday life. You stole a car. You are a car thief. That's what you are. Now, to add on top of that, the car that Colonel Winston hit was an ATF car. That's right, federal property. You damaged federal property. And you tried to wipe off the evidence. That is evidence tampering. You just hit a federal car, didn't report it, in a car you stole, and then tried to hide the evidence. And it's to my knowledge that you took the seized car in to try to get repair to cover your tracks. If that ain't corruption, I don't know what is. This cannot stand. Dude has to go. You cannot be over the organized crime unit and be a criminal. It just doesn't work. Doesn't look good. You are a criminal. I hear catching criminals. Make it make sense. In order to catch criminals, you have to be one. Was this like deep cover for you personally? No, you was profiting off your job. And that can't be the standard. Now, here's the rub, guys. I want to be honest with you. Think about this. If this colonel was comfortable stealing a car, what else is he stealing? What else? If you can just take a car, get the car keys, take it, use it every day for your day-to-day life, not being assigned to you, what else are you taking? You are in charge of seizing evidence from ne'er-do-wells and criminals. Who among you think that if he's stealing cars, he ain't stealing money? One thing I know about this video, and let me just be honest, I don't know where this video came from. And if I did know the source, I wouldn't reveal it. That's my journalism background. I wouldn't tell you if I knew, but I don't know where this video came from. It stumbled upon my doorstep. But let me say, two things I know about this video and me having this video. Two things I know. The first good thing is they're still good cops, because the blue wall of silence is really a real thing, guys. And here's the thing. It's not always used for nefarious reasons. Cops know how hard the job is. So cops don't generally snitch on cops because they know how hard the job is. But some good cops put this video out here for the public. And number two, what this tells me is, this ain't the first time dude done messed up. This ain't the first time, bro. This ain't the first time that Colonel Winston done messed up. Think about it. Generally at your job, dog, the first time you mess up or you make a mistake, people don't call you out. People tend to have patience with you. And if you're going to tell me that some police officers let this footage go, or the police department let it go, or they gave it to somebody to let it go, oh, they tired of dude shit, dog. They tired of you, Colonel Winston. You have lost the faith and trust of everybody under you if this video got out. That tells me, dog, that you are no longer in command. You have no respect because they let this video go. We talk about culture all the damn time. Oh, man, you need to create a culture. Culture starts at the top. If your leadership is corrupt and rotten, that trickled down to your subordinates. Look, man, I was in the Army for 8 years. I'm telling you this. I know this. If your chain of command is messed up, all your troops are messed up. You will never get the reform you need if you have individuals in charge that are corrupt. Because what this tells me is, though, this is a pattern. So you got all these officers under you who's like, yeah, man, I can't wait till I become a major or a colonel, because then I can start taking cars and flipping them. Or I can use them. I got all these public assets at my disposal. Why? Because I'm an officer. Being an officer is supposed to be a selfless job. Being a public servant is supposed to be a selfless job. You're not supposed to be in it for personal gain. I mean, that's the narrative we like to spin. Oh, man, you become an officer because you want to help the community. How is this helping the community? And who among you think if he's doing this, people under him aren't doing this? Fundamental question. How did he get the car keys? Who gave him? Who gave them to him? You mean to tell me nobody knew the dude was riding the stolen car? This is why Police Chief C.J. Davis has to go in there and clean house. I refuse to believe just only this guy took the keys. Now, he maybe did because he was a major at the time. He's a colonel. So maybe he had the power. And look, when you up that high, there's a lot of things you can do. People will turn their head, man, because you have power. And power dynamics are a real thing. But in this case, I'm quite sure somebody knew this, dog. It had to be more than one person. So you got to clean house. And look, man, I'm going to speak honestly, man. Really, I'm going to speak from the heart. Police Chief C.J. Davis, if you're hearing this, here is your chance to reform the police department. There's a rumor, right, that black people in general don't trust the police. And look, I'm going to be honest. Having a healthy distrust of the government is good for anybody. I truly believe that. But the narrative is always spent that black people in general don't trust the police. We don't call the police. And that's not true, man. Like, black people in general care about crime in our community. Like, just because it's not reported, but black people are out here really trying to clean up their community and be involved in their community. And Memphis is a majority black town. And yes, we have a crime problem, but a majority of black people in Memphis aren't criminals. But it's spent like that, and it's always thrown upon black people that, hey, man, we are predisposed to crime without looking at our social economic conditions that make crime possible. But it's spent that we are criminals. It's positioned that, like, we don't care. And that's not the case. The truth of the matter is we want to trust the police. We really do, but you got to give us something to believe in. You got to do your part. And here's your chance, madam, chief of police. You can do it right now. Give us something to believe in. Like, you can literally show there's a new sheriff in town. A new day. Mayor Paul Young, where are you at on this? Here's your chance to show him, hey, man, it's different now. J.B. Smiley, city council. You was grilling police chief C.J. Davis during our confirmation, made her interim chief. You was asking tough questions. Now, this is a question you need to be asking. You need to be asking, what are we going to do about this? This is a legit thing you need to be bringing up in the next city council meeting. What are we going to do about this corruption? We need something to believe in, and it has to start now. Like, there are reforms happening. I've been keeping my ear to the streets, and it appears that Madam Police Chief C.J. Davis is actually out here planning reforms. Some reforms that I plan on talking about in a later podcast. She's out here trying to do the work. But that doesn't mean nothing if the people you got in there with you are snakes and criminals. It means nothing. Culture starts at the top. Please get rid of this guy. Like, am I saying that he shouldn't be a police officer no more? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, like, yo, dude should be fired and never work again. I'm not saying that. But disciplinary action needs to happen. Demote this guy. He shouldn't be over organized crime unit. By the way, the organized crime unit, I want you to know, and that's now, like, well, the Scorpion unit was at, that falls under the organized crime unit. Yeah, the same unit that killed Tyrese Nichol. That's the organized crime unit. This guy's over that now. And if you got that type of guy over there, how you gonna make reforms in that unit? Dude needs to be demoted. He shouldn't be over organized crime. I don't know, maybe do the crossing guard. let dude direct traffic for a few years till he get his act together. I'm not saying that he should never be a police officer or he's not above like changing. What do they say? But for the grace of God, there go I. Like seriously, you mess up. But in this case, the cover up is worse than the crime. The blatant cover up. You think you are above the law? Look, man, the cheat code to this was so easy. The cheat code was being transparent. That's the cheat code, transparency. You could have spent this. Like, you could have easily been like, look, man, my car was broke down. I used this car. I knew it was wrong. I hit this car. I'm going to take care of the damages. I accept any disciplinary action to come my way. Right? But now the cover-up is way worse than the crime, man. The cheat code was just to come out and be like, I messed up. And the general public would have been like, oh, yeah, man, I can kind of see that happening. Accidents happen. Which leads to the next question, man. Why hasn't Internal Affairs handled this? Like, see, if this evidence, if this video and this evidence is coming out, that means internally nobody is looking at this. And I have suspicions why. Like, deadass, I looked up the Memphis Police Union rules. Now, here's the thing. I am pro-police union. I am pro-police. I am pro-unions in general. But there's a union rule, right? Right? And the rule is that if you hold a statement of charge for over a year, then the officer cannot be held accountable. It's a loophole. So basically, if it's over a year, this all goes away. And dude doesn't have to face disciplinary action. So they're using the police union rules to skirt accountability. And that can't be the standard. Once again, this brings distrust in the community, dog. This is what we don't like. Nobody likes this. It has to change. So little old Marcus Johnson from the Common Knowledge Podcast is asking, hey, WREG, News Channel 3, Channel 5, Fox 13, dig into this story. Blow this up. Memphis City Council, dig into this. Madam Chief of Police, please, once again, fire some of these guys. Mayor Paul Young, get in here and make a difference, man. You don't have to like this video, but share it. Like, you ain't gotta like me. F me. If you don't like me, cool. But share this video. You ain't gotta like it, but share it. If you seen this video, share it. If you in Memphis, share this video. The evidence is here. I'm giving you the evidence. Share it. If you want change to happen, if you care about crime, if you care about reform, it's simple. Just share it. Every reform, every change starts with awareness. People have to be made known about what's happening. You can't change what you don't know. Let's bring back the trust in government. It can happen. I truly think that we can change the corner, and it starts by cleaning out the rot. I'll post a video link on my social. I'll post a link in my podcast. Look at the video. Judge for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Look up the law. And if I got anything wrong, any police officers that hear this, if I got anything wrong, let me know what I got wrong. Let me know. I'm open. But you got to prove to me, dog, because I done did my research, man. This ain't right. You can't tell me what this guy did was right. This ain't right. If there are any other police officers in the Mid-South who want to, like, anonymously leak some information, reach out to your boy. Like, hit the podcast up. Send me an email. Shoot at me. DM me, dog. I am not linking any sources. And whoever leaked this video, thank you. You did a service to the community. I appreciate you. And that's the Common Knowledge Podcast, updated weekly. I will share some links to previous podcasts where I was talking about some of the problems we face in Memphis, because I don't want you guys to think that I'm not pro-police or for anybody to twist my words and to show that I'm consistent. Y'all be safe out there.